You're listening to Between the Ropes on 740 The Team, Orlando's sports leader.
Coming up on August 19th through the 21st at the Hilton University Place Hotel in Charlotte, North Carolina, will be the NWA Legends Fan Fest. Many great legends going to be there. Dory Funk, Terry Funk, Bret Hart, and another one that joins us right now, one of the greatest, if not the greatest manager in professional wrestling history, is we are joined by Jim Cornette. Jim, thanks for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
Thanks, guys. I'm doing great. Actually, in the break just now, I got a call from Tommy Young, the greatest referee in the history of wrestling.
Sweet.
Who's going to be there at the Legends Reunion in Charlotte, and he's going to referee the Rock and Roll Midnight match.
Awesome.
And as a matter of fact, I was just having a problem with him because he says he's going to call it straight down the middle, and I told him, Tommy, I'll give you $50 to make it fair, okay?
Don't hit him with that tennis racket, though, Jim.
Well, Tommy Young will be the referee. It's
awesome.
Going to be a great night. Actually, it's going to be a great weekend. The 19th, the 21st in Charlotte. That's my adopted hometown. Everybody knows I live in Louisville, Kentucky, but Charlotte has a special place for me. It was a magic time, a magic town, and I can't wait to come back.
And Tommy Young just makes that match so much more authentic, you know, because if you stick some young guy out there, it's just not the same. You see the Midnights and the Rock and Roll, and Tommy Young, that's huge.
Well, I tell you what, if Tommy doesn't call it fair, if he doesn't call it down the middle, I may have a problem with Tommy Young. We'll see you there at the University Place.
You know, it seems like everybody has so much fun when they go to these fan fests. And I remember when we had talked to you over a year ago, talking about going to the first fan fest. You know, you hadn't had an opportunity to hang around Bobby Eaton as much as you like. You hadn't seen Stan Lane in a long time, and now you got an opportunity to do that. The last one, you've got an opportunity some other places to see them. So it's got to be special for you to be able to see some of the guys and hang out with some of the guys that you used to work with on a regular basis.
And don't forget Dennis Condrey.
Yeah, they dug him up again.
Be Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey in the match.
That's going to be awesome.
And you know, Dennis and I have got back together over the past 9 months or so. Dennis was out of the business for 15 years. And I'm telling you, this guy makes me jealous because he looks the same physically as he did 15 years ago. And I've gotten a chance to get back together with Bobby and Dennis for a few matches. And I'm telling you, Dennis, he defies time.
Well, I swear that man gets cryogenically frozen because he just disappears. He doesn't go away. He literally drops off the face of the earth for years at a time.
Well, he has a horse ranch in Denver, and he's been living in Pensacola. Now he's moving up back to Charlotte. And the thing is, he defies time. I mean, when I saw him for the first time last September, I saw him for the first time since 1990. And I said, Dennis, except for your hair loss, and we've all suffered that, he looks better than he did the last time I saw him in the ring. and it's amazing. So it's going to be a great weekend. Charlotte, like I said, was Camelot. If you talk to Dusty Rhodes, he'll tell you it was Camelot. It was a special time where a lot of great talent and the perfect location and the perfect time came all together at the same time. And Mid-Atlantic wrestling was something that I'll never experience again, and I have fond memories of it, and I'm looking forward to coming back to Charlotte.
You know, going back to a while back, you know, we saw the first fan fest that you were at. There was a little bit of an altercation you were involved in at the Q&A session with a couple guys. Vito, I know that a couple guys you know pretty well with the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah, I love those guys.
What are you talking about?
The Q&A session at the first fan fest. Insane Clown Posse decided to, I guess,
the clowns.
You know, I don't even want to give these guys any more publicity than
gotcha.
They're worth, because they make a joke out of wrestling. They make a joke out of what I've spent the past 30 years of my life dedicated to, and I really don't want to give these guys any more publicity than they're worth, which is nothing. And, you know, the Insane Clown Posse, to me, are a bunch of wannabe everything. They want to be rappers. They want to be wrestlers. They don't know what they want to be. Nobody wants to see them. They released a record. It went cardboard. It was on the verge of becoming sheetrock. And, you know, to me, basically,
cardboard.
At the question and answer session, which I will be doing Friday night in Charlotte, Friday, August the 19th, I just basically said, hey, do you people want to hear me or do you want to hear these clowns? No pun intended. And universally, the hundreds of people that were gathered there said, you know what, we want to hear Jim Cornette. And they said, sha-na-na-na, hey, goodbye to the Insane Clown Posse. And that's all I want to really talk about them, because they're not worth publicity. It was an altercation because, to be honest, they couldn't. Their alligator mouth overloaded their hummingbird rear end, and they were ushered out. And God bless them. I hope they have success in something, maybe driving a truck, picking up garbage, because they're not singers, they're not wrestlers. If they're rappers, that's fine, because, you know, rappers to me don't carry much weight, because how much talent does that take? So the Insane Clown Posse to me are a non-entity.
We're speaking with Jim Cornette here on Between the Ropes. Vito, did you have to say something? I apologize.
No, I'm just agreeing with him. I'm sitting there agreeing. I've worked the Insane Clown Posse. I can't stand them. That Jim couldn't have said it better. Jim, question for you. Now, obviously, everybody's excited about the Fan Fest coming up. You're going to see a lot of old friends, a lot of guys you've been around the business with forever. What, you're still a very present tense in this business, though. There's a lot of guys that, you know, at these fan fests, they come up. It's the first, you know, you don't see them any time other than these fan fests. Jim, you're a guy who stayed in the news for really nonstop. You've been a relevant force in the business for years and years and years. Still continue to be one. Now, you know, right now, where are you heading? What's on your agenda?
You know, I'm the world's youngest veteran. Okay. I mean, there's going to be guys there in Charlotte that people remember from their childhood. I mean, you know, Barry Windham, Bobby Heenan, Ole Anderson, J.J. Dillon, Baron Von Raschke, Jimmy Snuka, Superstar, Tony Atlas, Wrestling 2, Greg Valentine. I could go on and on, but the thing is, I'm a wrestling fan, and mm-hmm. I've been a wrestling fan for almost 35 years now. I'm 43 years old. I started out as a wrestling fan, and I continue to be a wrestling fan. And I identify with your listeners, identify with the people that enjoy wrestling, good wrestling. And I've been able to make a very good living at what I do because I'm passionate about it. I'm a wrestling fan. I try to put myself in the place of the people out there watching television or buying the pay-per-views. What do you want to see? What do you want to see? What do you enjoy? And that's why I've been able to stay, hopefully, gainfully employed in wrestling, because I identify with your listeners, identify with the people who love wrestling. I don't just do this for a livelihood. I don't just do this for a business. I enjoy it as well. And so that's why I loved being a part of these Legends reunions, because I get it. As a matter of fact, I was at Wrestle Reunion, and I'm going to be there in Valley Forge on the 26th through the 28th at Wrestle Reunion. But I was there in Tampa in January, and I got as many autographs as the fans did, because mm-hmm. I'm a fan, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. And you have to be that in this business.
Doesn't that drive you nuts when guys in the business, Jim, just start talking like it's bad to be a fan? Because that's crap. We're all fans.
Oh, well, you know, let's face it. None of these guys are going to be the next Hollywood sensation, except for The Rock, and God bless him. I was there for his first match, and I knew then he was going to be the future WWE champion. I didn't know he was going to be a movie star, but you got to be a wrestling fan to be in this business, because you devote your life to it. You're 24/7. And so I don't consider myself any greater or any better than any of the fans watching your show or listening to your show, I should say. I'm a wrestling fan, and I love these guys, and I love what they stand for. I love what they've done in the past. And I'm going to be there in Charlotte getting autographs and getting pictures signed and reuniting with old people that I haven't seen in 20 years, just the same as all the other wrestling fans. And you got to love what you do for a living. And I do, and I've been lucky, and I appreciate it.
We're speaking with Jim Cornette here on Between the Ropes. Now, Jim, we know you're no longer tied into WWE. We got you coming up at the Fan Fest, and you've been doing some stuff with the Midnights. What's next in your plate? Are you taking some time off to think about what you want to do next? Do you already have the gears turning?
Well, I've always got my gears turning, but I'll say this about the WWE, and Vince McMahon has made me a good living for a long time, but we came to a point in Ohio Valley Wrestling here in Louisville, Kentucky, where we were desperately far apart on the decision-making power that I would have in my own company, Ohio Valley Wrestling, here in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm going to go into this more in-depth in the Q&A at Charlotte, but I'll say this. I can't say anything bad about the WWE as far as the way they've treated me, except that I felt that I needed to have more decision-making power in my own company, that I'm partners with Danny Davis here in OVW in Louisville. I don't care what they do. I want the talent to succeed. I didn't want pull in the WWE as far as who goes and who doesn't or what they do. But in my own company, in OVW here in Louisville, I wanted decision-making power because our name is on it, my face is on it, and I'm passionate about what I do. And that wasn't being given to me. So basically, I wasn't going to quit on myself because how do you quit on yourself? But it came to a point where I couldn't work in the parameters that they were setting for me, and so basically we parted company. But that doesn't mean I'm not a part of OVW, and right now I'm taking about 6 months off because I haven't had a break in wrestling since, 1990 or so, 15 years, and I'm going to take a rest and move into my new house and decide what I want to do from here, but I will be a big part of OVW in Louisville. And I'm going to do the reunions with the Midnight because none of us are getting any younger. And so many of our friends and our compatriots like Big Boss Man, Big Bubba Rogers, and Road Warrior Hawk, so many of them are no longer with us that I've got the chance now to reunite with Dennis Condrey and Stan Lane and Bobby Eaton, and I'm going to do that for a while. But actually, I only have a few dates booked until the end of the year. And I'm going to take some time off because I've been immersed in wrestling as a professional for 23 years, and it's time now to sit back and say, whew, I've done this, and I need a rest.
You know, when you talk about WWE, it said that you guys could not agree about the control when it came to Ohio Valley Wrestling. How frustrating was that relationship, especially when you're talking about guys that are in Ohio Valley so they can improve, so they can be molded into future WWE stars, but at the same time, you see them getting pushed so much, so quickly from coming up from Ohio Valley where they still probably have a long way to go when it comes to training and being ready for WWE and already being brought up and put into a tough situation.
Well, the thing is, I'm passionate about what I do and what my name is attached to and what my face is on, and especially in my hometown. And I think that a lot of patience is needed in grooming new stars and new talent. And we have produced, here in OVW, we train Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Batista. But now it seems that the pressure is on to take guys and make them the next big thing in wrestling when they've had 6 months or a year of training. And let's face it, it takes 4 years of college to be a lawyer. And there's a lot more lawyers than there are successful pro wrestlers. So I don't know why anybody thinks that it would take less time to train successful pro wrestlers. So there was a big disparity between what they think needs to be the time that needs to be in training and the time that I feel needs to be in training. I want guys, I don't care if they like me now, I want them to like me in 10 years. When they look back and they go, you know what, Cornette was telling me what I needed to do to be successful in this business. I don't want them to like me now, I want them to like me in 10 years when they look back. And that was the disparity. I think a lot of times guys are rushed. Guys who have a lot of potential are not given time to fully bloom and develop. And I'll go into more detail in Charlotte for all of those who are going to the wrestling reunion. But I think we were far apart on our ideals.
Jim, let me ask you a question, kind of change gears just a little bit. From the perspective of a manager, obviously your reputation was made as the manager of so many great wrestlers, tag teams. Today, in today's wrestling, and we'll use the WWE because it's the easiest example, It's a very entertainment-driven product. It's a very interview, promo-based product. Now, granted, I know a lot of people are dissatisfied with the nature of some of the promos being a little more scripted instead of impromptu these days. But with the talking being such a big part of it, and with so many young guys up on the roster in the WWE, guys that really are not the greatest talkers, for a company that bases itself off of that, there's not a lot of great talkers in that company. Why have we not seen the reintroduction into the fray of managers such as yourself to be the guy, to be that mouthpiece like back in the day, which was so effective, so over with the fans? Why is that not there?
Well, it's a difference in style because, truthfully, Southern wrestling and Northern wrestling were two different things, two different styles. And the managers were not as utilized in the North as they were in the South. And it doesn't matter, really. You know, managers, I used to joke, you know, when Sable was big, and my God, talk about somebody who made a lot of money with no talent discernible. She couldn't sing, she couldn't dance, she couldn't talk, but she looked good standing there wearing a T-shirt. But the thing is, it doesn't matter whether you have a manager or whether you do it yourself. You're not going to be comfortable doing an interview, doing a promo, being yourself, unless you've had experience. And guys nowadays don't get the chance to get as much experience as the top guys did of the previous generation. So it doesn't matter whether you got a manager or not. If you can be yourself with the volume turned up and you're comfortable with your spot and your position and you know what you're doing, you're going to be able to get your personality over. And a lot of guys these days are not comfortable because they haven't had the experience, they haven't worked as many places, they haven't had as many matches, they haven't had as much time in the business, and that's the whole key. So it doesn't really matter whether you got a manager or not. It matters whether or not you're comfortable in your skin. And that takes time, and that takes experience, and that's what the guys don't have a chance and an opportunity to get these days, because there's no place to go to be seen on a wide basis.
Now, Jim, on a talent developmental side, you've worked with so many different guys between Smoky Mountain and getting guys ready for WWE and OVW. How difficult was it for you to see a guy, say like Matt Morgan, a guy who you said would be world champion at some point, or main eventing WrestleMania at some point, or even a girl like Jillian Hall who was working and training OVW, and you see them and they get pulled from whatever you had built them to and put in these ridiculous, just silly, asinine things. You got Matt Morgan stuttering and Jillian Hall with this ridiculous looking growth on her face.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Matt Morgan, 7 feet tall, 330 pounds, 27 years old, injury-free, fifth in his class in college and communications. He is the blueprint of a perfect wrestler. But the problem is there's two things that need to be done before a guy gets over. Number one, a guy has to have talent. And number two, a guy has to have the push, the support from the office. Without those two things, nobody will prosper. And even if a guy has talent, I say this to the guys a lot of times, the greatest talent in the world cannot overcome bad booking. Yeah. And the greatest booking in the world cannot make a bad talent a superstar. Without both those things, talent and booking, you can't get over. So I will leave it to your listeners to determine whether it was the talent or the booking that was in shortcoming.
We're speaking with Jim Cornette here on Between the Ropes on 7-4 The Team. Now, Jim, I know you want to leave some for the Fan Fest, and I'm sure you're going to leave plenty for that coming up in Charlotte.
We will be edgy in Charlotte. It's 11 o'clock at night, so I can say curse words, by the way.
Jim, yes. I was
people who are waiting for it. I can cuss in Charlotte.
I was there at the first one. I remember when you got the microphone, the first couple words out of your mouth, and the crowd popped huge. So everybody enjoys that. But I know you're going to save some.
George Carlin is my personal idol.
Yeah.
It will be midnight with Corny, and people will love it.
Yes, they will.
I promise you that in Charlotte.
Without a doubt. But Going back to the situation with Ohio Valley and you not being there when it comes to working with WWE, can you at least talk or give a Cliff Notes version of what exactly happened before that relationship was severed? Because we heard about the talk of that final OVW taping, the storyline involving Marty Wright, the boogeyman, and one of the other students, and an altercation in the back.
Oh, you know, I'll give an explanation in Charlotte, but suffice it to say that I don't need to book any more wrestling for a while, because in the past 16 years since 1989, for 14 of those years, I've been booking wrestling. And I Love Lucy only did 180 first-run episodes. I've done 300 one-hour episodes of Ohio Valley Wrestling. I did 200 one-hour episodes of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Plus, I've assisted in booking WWE and WCW in the past 16 years. You got to burn out. You got to burn out. And they were making me crazy, because the parameters that were put on me were making me crazy. And now I'm looking forward to performing again and to sitting back and watching the kids. And I have no problem with stepping aside for guys who have talent. And that's the thing, is right now I'm looking forward to performing again. I'm looking forward to stepping aside. I'm looking forward to seeing who comes up and who can take my place, because that's the nature of wrestling. It's a talent-driven business. And I've been doing too much booking for too long, and it's making me crazy. So I need to step aside, I need to rest, and I need to relax, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Now, Jim, as somebody who has worked with so much young talent, and you're a wrestling fan, is there anybody out there, you know, outside of the WWE system, the OVW system, that you've seen? You know, you've done work with Ring of Honor, you've worked around the different indies, I'm sure you've seen some TNA. Is there somebody out there that you see, that you really see is going to be something big in this industry that really hasn't popped yet?
Yes, well, obviously, I still see Matt Morgan as a future superstar, no doubt about it. Samoa Joe from Ring of Honor, he doesn't fit the WWE mold, but he will be a superstar. He will be a top guy in years to come. There's several guys that are bubbling up that just don't have the opportunity, and they will get the opportunity. I can TNA, I can think of Abyss. I've been a fan of Abyss since I was 4 years ago. I was going down to Burt Prentice's shows in Nashville and doing color commentary, and I saw this guy, and I said, Jesus Christ, he's going to be a star. So you've got Abyss and TNA. You've got Matt Morgan, who's bubbling up. You've got Samoa Joe. There's a lot of guys who don't fit the mold these days, but that's exactly what makes a star, because when you think about it, if 1979 was now 2005, would Abdullah the Butcher get a chance? Would Dusty Rhodes get a chance? Would Dick Murdoch get a chance? They don't fit the mold, but they break the mold. And people are looking for something different. And so Matt Morgan, Abyss, Samoa Joe, these guys are going to be big stars if they get the opportunity on a wide stream basis to show what their talent is.
Jim, you know, Matt Morgan, we've talked about him a little bit here, and obviously you've got a stake in Matt Morgan, having had him come through Ohio Valley. A lot of these guys,
I'm a dumb shit. I should have signed him up to a personal services contract, because this guy's going to be a star.
Yeah, I, you know what? The thing that shocked us about Morgan, and, you know, I've been around a while, and let's face it, this is a kid. Vince has always liked the big guys, the big jacked up athletic guys. This is a guy who's not only big, jacked up, and athletic, but like you said, he's smart. I that was the one of all the releases that came several weeks ago, and that was called the Black Monday or Black Wednesday. There you go. Of all those releases that came that day, some of them you looked and said, "Oh, okay, I see it." I don't think none surprised us any more than Morgan. We just looked at it and said, "I don't get." And honestly, Tyson Tomko, Travis. I've known Travis for years. I love the guy, but to be honest with you, if you put Travis and Morgan next to each other, if I'm looking at future down the road potential, I'm keeping Matt Morgan.
Well, you know, I got to tell you something Kenny Boland said. Kenny Boland, the Ohio Valley Wrestling top heel manager and also my lifelong friend for 30 years, he looked at Matt Morgan and he said, "What? they fired you? And why?"
Yeah.
And Morgan said, "Well, the writers didn't have anything for me." Kenny Boland said, "Fire the effing writers.
We could only wish.
The thing is, it was the best thing for Matt Morgan because, I'm sorry, stuttering, career killer, need I say more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is, Matt will get an opportunity in Japan or in TNA or in some other in some other place to show what he can do, and then he'll be the hot commodity. And sometimes you need that because Jerry Jarrett told me this 25 years ago. He always had Jerry Lawler as his top star, but he could never get anybody else over. The reason was because Lawler never left. So when Lawler finally would leave and would take 6 months off or whatever, he got a chance to get somebody else over. Jimmy Valiant, Bill Dundee, blah, blah, blah. And Jerry Jarrett told me, you can never make another superstar as long as the current superstar is on the scene. Nobody can get over that guy. So it takes the current superstar leaving or being away to make a new superstar. And Matt Morgan will be a new superstar because he will get out from under the glass ceiling, if you want to say it, and he will make himself because he has the tools, he has the youth, he has the ability, he has the charisma, and then you've got a new superstar. Remember this, no superstars are planned. When Terry Gordy slammed the cage door on Kerry Von Erich Christmas night 1982, nobody planned that. It was just something else to do. But it sparked business in Dallas for 3 years. Steve Austin did it on his own. Austin 316, that was his idea. People got with it. Superstars are not planned. They happen because the people take to them. And then if you're smart as a promoter, you go with it. So you can't plan a superstar, but you can certainly be smart enough to take advantage of what's happening with the people. The fans dictate who they want to see. And basically it boils down to the fans will dictate the next superstars of this generation, and the promoters better be smart enough to follow up on it.
On that note, what's your thoughts of the progress right now of John Cena in WWE?
I am so proud of John. John Cena... As soon as he came here to LVW, we knew we had something special, and we didn't know what we had exactly because, to be honest, you know, he was still green in the ring. He was still green on the mic because he hadn't done a lot of television. But once he started, we knew we had something special. We didn't know how far he'd go, and I'm so proud of John because he is tearing the place up. He is burning up the place, and John Cena, to me, is something special, and the fans are reacting, and that's exactly... He's the total package. He's not the worker that Chris Benoit is. He's not the promo that Ric Flair is. He's not the body that Lex Luger was. Nah. But if you want to talk about a total package, he's got so much of everything. John Cena, and what a wonderful human being, and what a great guy. Never forgets where he came from. Never forgets the fans that put him there. John Cena, to me, is a star. He will be for years to come. And to quote Buddy Rogers, to a nicer guy, it couldn't happen.
Very good. Now, Jim, you mentioned just a few minutes ago earlier talking about, you know, wanting to get some rest, take a break. But you mentioned a few times you're looking forward to performing and getting back out there. Now, obviously, we know you're doing the fan fest and some of the reunions, that kind of things that are going on. Are you looking along with the Midnights? Are you looking at taking some indie bookings here and there? Are you looking at doing some stuff just to get out again?
Or? You don't have to fly to.
You know, once again, to be honest, like I said, I just moved into a new house in Louisville, and I'm really excited about unpacking my wrestling memorabilia collection. And I've still got a lot of business with OVW, selling sponsorships and shows. We work with the fire departments here. We do charity fundraisers. I don't like to leave home a lot. Mm-hmm. I was on the road for 20 years, and I'm pretty well done with that. But once or twice a month with the Midnight Express or with Ring of Honor, and Gabe Sapolsky and his folks have been great to me. And I'm a fan when I go to the Ring of Honor shows because they made it possible for me to work with Bobby Heenan, which is the first time in my career I've been able to do that. And I will say this, Bobby Heenan is not only a friend of mine, but also the greatest manager ever in wrestling. So once or twice a month, I'm going to do the Midnight Express reunion shows. I'm going to do some things with Ring of Honor. I'm not as young as I used to be, and I don't want to get out there on the road. But at the same time, I still enjoy performing. It just takes me longer to recover.
How long is it going to take you to move all your wrestling memorabilia?
I'm sorry?
How long is it going to take you to move all your wrestling memorabilia from one house to the new one?
Well, I've got it all in, and I'm sorting it out now. And it actually, we just did a Ring of Honor shoot videotape with Bobby Heenan where he toured my wrestling collection, and I still don't have it all out. But it's like moving a library, so you can imagine the work entailed.
I can only imagine. The NWA Legends Fan Fest coming up in Charlotte, North Carolina, August 19th through the 21st. Jim Cornette will be there. In fact, on Friday night, 11 o'clock at night, the Jim Cornette Q&A session, which I'm sure will be worth the price of a VIP ticket for only $99.
R-rated.
Yes. You're in safe harbor. 11 o'clock, it's all good.
Yes. The MPAA will not be rating that section of the Fan Fest that night. Jim, thanks again for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Best of luck, and hopefully we can talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the time, and once again, I hope to see everybody in Charlotte. It's going to be a blast.
Thanks again, Jim. Appreciate it. Jim Cornette joining us here on Between the Ropes, and Jim's one of a kind.
Yeah,
and I guarantee you, the stuff that he held back tonight, which he did on purpose,
he was promoing the big town, Charlotte. When I see you in Charlotte, I'm going to deliver the big news.
I'll tell you what, it's nice to hear that.
If guys would cut promos like that on TV to sell the next show and stuff. Can you imagine?
That used to be the purpose of a promo, guys. That's how it worked.